Welcome to the Digital Dive, where we take a deep dive into digital assets. My name is Eric, and today I am joined with Mr. Adam of Token Events. Adam, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I am doing fantastic. I am super excited to get on this call with you today and talk about everything fan and token events related. So super eager to hear about all the incredible things that you guys are building and have going on your side. So without any further ado, how about you kind of introduce a little bit more about yourself, and then we can get started in talking all about all the things token events related.
Sure. So I'm a senior technology director currently at RGA and a CEO of Token Events. I've cut my teeth from anything from doing insurance software tools that have won awards to building pizza cars for Domino's Pizza and solving the voice ordering through the drive-thru at McDonald's and doing fintech projects. So my skill set has run the gamut. I've done a lot of super boring things that have made billions of dollars and super interesting things that have lost millions of dollars. So I have a good understanding of how to solve problems and how to attack things from different angles. And this idea, actually, weirdly enough, a fan engagement product that really tries to bend the rules around how we are interacting with all the things around us, was formulating while sitting inside of this Chicago Mercantile Exchange. So imagine sitting in the belly of the beast, doing work with both analysts and quants around putting liquidity back in the market, and then having an aha moment around, like, you know, you could change the rules of how this works in society with fandom, and then being able to get that done in a pragmatic way, which ended up being what this is today. And so it's kind of the story of my career and story of my life. I might be working on something that seems very fintechy one minute, and then the next minute, you know, pizza cars arrive, and then here we are with Token. And so that's where I would say do a lot of things, kids, because it might turn into something greater, and learn a lot on all the different weird things you do, because it might actually inspire you to change some things.
Very true. I mean, you never know when you're going to have that moment of inspiration or aha moment, which I think really, you know, comes to people. So it's cool to see that, you know, whether it was, you know, the pizza cars or the voice box, like all of a sudden you're sitting here and now next thing you know, you have this inspirational moment and incredible idea to actually now build what is Token Events. So what can you tell us about Token Events? What is it? For those who don't know, how would you summarize it?
Well, interestingly enough, I would summarize it is a software company first. It is seriously a software as a service platform that is bridging the gap between modern day problems in fan engagement and fan connections to the Web3 universe. We always were coming at this from a point of view of how do you take all of these middlemen out that are kind of taking advantage of the user or making money off the user, when at the end of the day, they love a thing, they try to get close to that thing, and they want a bi-directional conversation with that thing. That thing can be, you know, Louis Vuitton purses, it could be the Chicago Bulls. It doesn't really matter really the object of someone's affection. It's how do we bring those two closer together? And so our point of view and what we're trying to do is be the connective tissue that sits in the center of that and give the tools to both B2B and B2B2C to where it connects those things, right? You know, you're seeing a lot more of this in these projects or in the ecosystems or in businesses coming up, right? People are looking at distributed ledger tech and blockchain just past, like, I'm going to do this next DeFi thing, rinse and repeat, to, oh yeah, we should approach this like real software. And how do we use these tools and these mechanics to actually solve real world problems that are going to scale and that are actually going to enrich people other than just on the economy part of enriching, but enrich right. them in daily, day-to-day lives. And also the other thing too is like, you know, this is true. We have to start building products and building solutions that connect people to the Web3 thinking. Folks like you and I don't need to be brought to the water to drink. We understand what's going on. And we're basically like, just wait. Everybody's going to catch up. There is going to be a good learning curve for folks to catch up. And so our goal has always been to kill complacency, meaning I don't care if it's Ticketmaster. I don't care what it is. To me, the problem isn't these big businesses. It's complacency is the problem. Let's attack complacency. Let's bring the tools to the mass, to the masses, you know, like a very Promethean, right? Give these tools to everybody so that they can learn and engage and actually come closer to the things they love. And then what we do is we grow around the user versus the user having to use us. So we want to be very user-centric and grow around the things that they need. And then, so based on what we're building in MVP and building in year one and year two, very based on onboarding and making people acclimated. And then we sit back and we watch the users engage. And then we build around the user, user-centered design, user-centered tech, user-centered thinking. And then that then is going to like project us into the future. And that gives us our roadmap and our business plan, not the other way around where it's like, you're stuck with this, love it or leave it. You know, you want to.
Right.
And so that's not our point of view. And as you know, where we're heading in the future is that it's more user-centered, the empowerment of the user to make the decisions on what they get to use or what they don't get to use. And so for us, it's the moments now. I mean, like, this is an idea that's been, you know, been worked on by Chris and I for a few years, even longer by myself, where the moment in time is right, and then the technology is caught up with where we need to be, and so we're ready to go.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love that user-centric point of thinking, because I think, you know, especially in Web3, that to me is like the epitome of Web3, putting the user back at the center and filling those gaps where, you know, whether you want to call it centralized systems or just the major imbalance between, you know, where people are interacting and what they're getting out of an experience, and then where some of these larger conglomerates are benefiting from, and the massive gap or the you know, exchange of power between. So I love that, you know, Token is putting fans back at the center of the experience so that the users can benefit from the things that they love in a Web3 way, and they don't even maybe need to necessarily know that they're having a Web3 experience.
No, they don't need to know that. And the good news is it's not that we're hiding it from them. What we're doing right. is making it easy so that when things start to get more complex as we go further down the road, they're like, oh, I know how the mechanics of this work. You know, our goal is in a weird way to educate, to almost be the facilitators of Web3. Like, it's okay to say like, this is different. This is a little scary, you know, like hop over here, try this out, and do it in a way where it'll make sense. Like, you know, doing, you know, don't teach somebody Python, teach them how to like do it in blocks first. And in the,
right.
And then we can see what users are doing and then bend and flex to where the users are telling us to go. And then over time, our business and our model and our thinking and the way we do things will move in the direction of the zeitgeist, so that we aren't doing just these like staunch businessy type things where it's about bottom line and profit. The bottom right. line profit is about user engagement and user satisfaction. That to me is more important at the end of the day than like lines in a spreadsheet, right, about like how much money did you make this year or whatever. It doesn't mean anything. If I mean, like, listen, folks make a lot of money and their users are very angry, but there's no other choice, right?
And so
like the last thing that I would want to do is be like, I'm profitable but everyone hates me. That doesn't feel good. Why can't you be why can't you share and profit with your user base and then have them be a fan of you as a company because you're providing something that provides them joy? That's our goal.
Right. And you can still, and ironically, I think with Web3, you can still be profitable in that way. And I think it's the first thing that actually makes this a reality. And I think what Token is doing is a perfect embodiment of that. So with that being said, can you provide me with like a walkthrough of what it would be like to be a fan at an event using Token?
Sure. I can give you a couple like things just off the top of my head that I've experienced in my time at Wrigley Field with my family. You know, every time I go to Wrigley Field, the goal is let's get cotton candy because my kids want cotton candy. And every time we go to Wrigley Field, cotton candy is in a different location. So if you were to actually, and then there's a lot more to unpack on this, but if you were the Chicago Cubs, right? The Chicago Cubs do not know the frequency of times I come to the game. They don't know what section I like to sit in. They don't know the amount of people that come with me. They don't know which kiosks I go to. They don't know which areas I go for. You know, does he need cotton candy? They don't know what part, like what time of year I go. They don't know anything. And, you know, these are the things that we've been finding out from these leagues and these teams and these venues. They're just like, we don't know who's sitting in the seats. We just know 24,000 people showed up. So Every day is Groundhog Day, and they're trying to do things to like accommodate the modern user where it's like, look, we have mobile order. Again, that's great. But if you've ever done mobile order and then the mobile order line is jacked up and it doesn't really work all that well, and you should have just gone to the regular line and paid with your card, there's still broken processes there.
Mm-hmm.
Where, if you understood that user when they walked in, like having our application and having our platform connected to the venue and the person, right? As that person gets closer to the geofence, right? Now all of the receptors go off, right?
Because right.
People are good at engaging, and this is in some of our deckware. People are really good at engaging. Like, thank you for getting me excited. I'm coming to the game. But the receptors are the part that people are missing. It's all of those little learnings about that person or about that behavior along the way that get dropped, right? You got me there. Now, what are the things you're doing in the receptor end? And this is come back around to some of these things I brought up. So I hit that geofence. It's like Adam's coming in. He has his NFE because we're going to now talk about NFEs versus tickets because these are non-fungible experiences. All of these things about me are rolling up to this non-fungible experience, and my ID and my identification as this person in the Web3 world lives in this NFE. And so as you unpack that, now the stadium knows, okay, this guy's coming in, family of five, he needs to find cotton candy ASAP.
Right.
Now I know where to go. Now I have wayfinding. Oh, and by the way, you know, shout out to Alchemy. You know, now I can get served up information or digital advertisements or know where to go inside the stadium because we can like hop over, get that data from Alchemy, tell them that these types of users are like concentrated inside the stadium, and then they can serve up content or advertisements to us that are going to benefit everybody, right?
Right.
So there's the other part to it. Now, as this is going, data is going back and forth between me as the person within this application in the stadium, and it's a conversation. And in that conversation, data is being exchanged. And in that data being exchanged, that user is accumulating that utility going back in their pocket. So as soon as I break the geofence, I'm immediately earning in that utility because I'm having that conversation. I buy my cotton.
Amazing. I was going to say, that's amazing. Yeah. Well, because you know what I'm thinking about? Like, the amount of lost or untapped important information that now unlocked because of just a new model that you guys are activating opens the door for so much more monetization on the vendor side, but also an incredibly enhanced experience on the user side.
Yeah, Exactly. And yeah. then now the conversation has started, right? It's like complacency is now dead, because now I've moved like from so far apart to like now I'm here with the stadium and the team. And so with all that, like, you know, let's say it was a 75 degree day, the clouds rolled in, I'm on the shady side of the stadium, and magically, like, underneath, and you're in a certain section where it's shaded, you know, it's going to be a little chilly. The stadium now knows the amount of people that have this app, the types of users inside this application, their t-shirt sizes, their sweatshirt sizes, all of these things about the this group of people. Now you can serve up content to say, like, within a 2-minute walk behind you, you can grab a sweatshirt. And no, by the way, they're $15 off. Like, now there's ways for the stadium to be a living embodiment of actual user. And it also, it changes the paradigm for like how they do business, because now all of these different data points can get aggregated, and then they can make business decisions, and then, you know, click a button to be like, you know what, we have a highly concentrated group of people here. We could bring t-shirts down to X and make this type of margin, or these type of people are sitting with fan in their wallet, and we can exchange fan for merch or food or whatever. And then we connect to all those IoT devices, another Constellation shout out, like DOR, right? So we're able to then talk to all of these IoT and IoB devices, where we're passing data to them, they're taking that data, and then now the stadium's doing things with the data versus going like, you know, guess how many people are in the stadium. Now it's
a loss of information.
Well, right. And then now they're going to know, right? So let's just pretend I do all of these great things inside the stadium. And I leave the stadium. The stadium and the team or the band or whomever doesn't know like anything else I'm doing. They'd have no other data point after that and how to get me to come back. Again, this is the engaging me versus the receptors. So if you connect the engagement with the receptor, now you can keep me in this engaged state where you say like, oh, hey, you know what? Family of five that sat in this section, you know, we could sell you tickets for like, let's just knock off like $400 off of your next experience, or create a package, or say like, you can buy it in your accumulated fan. Now I'm back in the stadium. Now I'm back in the or I'm buying merch, getting sent to my house. There's like other ways to keep people in the stadium and in the. Moment. No, I randomly have this because I was using it as a bookmark, but like, this is a ticket, right? This is a ticket from a show. But this doesn't do really much anything other than like, I use it as a bookmark. Now imagine this is now an NFE, and all of this identity of everything that I did, the amalgamation of all of those things I did, are rolling up into that, right? And this goes past NFT. Like, NFTs are awesome and can roll up into that NFE layer. But what we're saying at the NFE layer, the non-fungible event or the non-fungible experience, is now you're creating identity around the user for what they do behaviorally and what they do in the moment. And then now that ticket, imagine all of these magical things were captured inside this NFE. And somebody was like, you know what? I want to sell my experience at the World Series and all the pictures you took, all the things you did, all the on the ground things you did. Maybe you grabbed some NFTs. You could bundle that and then sell your NFE to the world. Right. And be like,
right.
This is what it looked like when X home run was hit or whatever, or you keep it for yourself. Right. And so now it's no longer a ticket in a book. It's an experience and a walk down memory lane that you could share or you could just sell off. I mean, like,
right. And it has intrinsic value and information packed into what would have been a dead, useless ticket.
Correct. And so the idea here is, let's amalgamate the meta around the user or around the experience and strengthen the tie between all fans and then all things that fans love. It doesn't have to just be sports or music. It's a lot of different, there's a lot of different ways to slice this. And then store it and save it or ship it. It's okay to do what you want. It's your data. And that's the other thing with this too. If people don't want to share data, we're perfectly fine with them using our services free of charge. And no, you don't have to share data. That's fine with us. Because at the end of the day, the more you participate, the more you're rewarded. If you don't want to participate, that's okay. Because you're partaking in the application and you're partaking in the product. And for us, that's really all that matters. It's how we're serving the user. And if the user just wants to use it as it lives and breathes and for its utility, that's totally fine too.
Right. Absolutely. And so one thought that I have is, you know, the user is sharing this data, but it's not like they're giving up necessarily who they are.
No, they're not. It's all encrypted and we don't, mm-hmm. we don't give up any PII. It's all stored separate and hashed out. Like nobody really truly knows. So for example, mm-hmm. if you're in the stadium and everyone's like, sweatshirts abound, and like you don't engage in that, we just know that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 thousand have any interest in that. And then the machine learns over time that like, don't push sweatshirts, but it doesn't right. say Adam doesn't want it. Right. And so right. the idea in this scenario is it's a lot like the grocery store. When you walk in, you know, people don't like put product in your face and be like, cause you bought this last time. It's kind of the same thing. You go down the aisles and you choose what you want to engage with. Then over time, certain aisles just don't show up because it doesn't really fit your purchase or your behavioral profile, right? Mm-hmm. And also the other thing that we're doing and looking at is your groupings or your tribal behavior around how you do things. Because there are moments where you may be in this circle over here, but then there's a weird cross section between Major League Soccer fans and esports. Mm. I mean, like I learned that through our research that it's like, so you mean to tell me that there's a way to bring these two people closer or these two experiences closer? Imagine you're a Major League Soccer team and you see that there's a dense population of everybody in this stadium even before the match happens that is an esports person. As a company or as a team, you could in theory go heavy on esports that night. You could find a way to cater, because then I mean this is still it's a business, and it's also still like creating satisfaction for the user. If I'm an esports person and I show up and now like it's like every like you know like whatever it's like Fortnite night or whatever,
right?
It's like right. it's like things just changed for me, and like now the stadium is like knows me. It's kind of a cool concept, and it's not impossible to do on understanding the marketing science and the data science behind it, how to store it, retrieve it, and like give that information in a smart way to the stadium. It's pretty easy. It's a matter of execution.
Right. I just love how it turns the user and the stadium or the event into like a symbiotic relationship where yeah. nothing is lost and everything is gained.
Right. And that's the idea. The idea is we sit in the center of the connective tissue, and that way, like teams and fans and all these people don't have to worry about how to make it work. We're there to make it work and to like bend and flex and, you know, build the right tech stack to make it happen. And then mm-hmm. also like future proof and future think around like, how do we keep the momentum going into all these different areas? I mean, I think it would be so cool, you know, if like, you did one thing in the real world in a stadium event type situation, and somehow that translated over into the metaverse, like seamlessly. Right.
Right.
think about all your day to day, and like there's gonna be this weird, like, these choppy breakpoints between the two, but mm-hmm. you know, future thinking and thinking about how where we're going and what we're doing, why not think about that now? Why not try to test those waters early and see how users are traversing through multiple multiverses?
There you go. and so you've mentioned a few times now NFEs. Now for those who aren't aware, can you kind of explain a little bit more about the NFE, what it means? And I believe you guys got it trademarked. Is that correct? The originators of the NFE.
Correct. So we put it in for the non-fungible event and the non-fungible non-fungible event and non-fungible experience, because we were thinking long and hard around really what our company does and what we're doing, not only just in the event space and in the experience space, and what that truly means to the user. But then we started to articulate how we were amalgamating the identity and the meta around the user, and how we were taking that and bending it and turning it into its own thing and its own entity. And then we started to realize we were kind of inventing this new form of the most ultimate ticket on steroids that, you know, actually like means something bigger than a bookmark, right? And right. So we just called the IP attorney and said, hey, you know, we have this idea around what we're doing in this space, because again, like, I can understand where people would be like, oh, like, though, so you're just talking about like an NFT ticket. NFT tickets are a thing, and I get all that, but this is a little different in the way we're doing it in our data set and what we're doing in identity and what we're doing for the user. So I don't want there to be a blurred line between like NFT tickets, kind of like what Coachella's doing, versus mm-hmm. what we're doing. A lot of what we're doing, when people will see it when we drop it, it's not the same. It's truly, you're going to go, oh, that's an NFE. So anyway, so we spoke to the IP attorney about all of these things, and he's like, yeah, what you're doing is novel and new, and like, let's do it. And so for us, like, tickets themselves and ticketing, all that's dead. It's just, that was just an old mechanism that people used to get people in the door and then just be like, thank you very much, I made some money off of you, see you later. And then, yeah. Oh, by the way, Chicago Cubs, you don't know who's in your stadium, but we have the money, and then we will split profits or whatever, and then that's the end of the day. So right. When the way we looked at it was completely different and new and novel. And so we made sure that we put our stamp on that, because we want to be pioneering that and in sharing, you know, again, we want to own it and let people know that this is what we're doing. But at the same time too, like, sharing the mechanics and showing people the way is also part of what we're doing, because, you know, in decentralization, you know, forces collaboration. We would like people to see what we're doing and be like, that's the right thing to do, let's go that route. And then, like, everybody shift to that thinking. Because, like, again, NFTs, awesome step in the right direction. And the way I look at it, like, the most non-fungible token on the planet is you as a person. And you roll up into these events and these things you're doing, and then those become these non-fungible experiences that we are trying to amalgamate that you can enjoy. So that's really the genesis of the idea, and that's where we came up with it. And here we are.
Here we are. Absolutely incredible. I mean, it's, again, just unlocking that extra layer of information that I think is critically important and ripe for enhancing the user experience and what is possible with data, what yeah. you can do with someone's information while remaining, you know, in the Web3 decentralized world where things are still anonymous. I think it's the, like I said, the epitome of what it would be like if Web3 was something innovating, and here we are. We have token events. So I think it's absolutely incredible. So kind of taking it all the way back to home base, how are you guys introduced to Constellation?
So again, full disclaimer, work at RGA. I'm also in the RGA Venture Program, and it's no secret that Benjamin Diggles also was an entrepreneur in residence at RGA, and Dylan Boyd on our board, really great at opening doors for us early on, when a lot of people were like, I don't know, this is kind of crazy. He was like, this is awesome. So Dylan is the connective tissue to us, to Benjamin Diggles. And we spoke, it was so crazy because for the longest time I've been talking to people and they're like, this is interesting, but I don't know even where to begin with this. This is a lot. Like, you're really like, you know, it's like, this is like a, you're changing a lot of things, and it makes people uncomfortable, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. We met with Diggles, and within like 15 minutes, he was just like, so like, let's go. What are we doing? I was like, wait, what? Like, cause again, like, I had so many discussions with people just being like, this is great. I mean, let me know when it happens. But like, everybody was afraid to touch it. And he was like, how do I touch it? How do I unpack it? How do we do this? Let's go. And I was like, oh, this is different. And
yeah. So, what a legend.
Yeah. And so that, and then from there, it just took off. Like, we went from kind of finding our way to like on the highway. Like, it was like, it went dangerously fast. And then he basically Sherpa'd us through a lot of like waters and taught us the way. I guess a Sherpa would take you through a mountain, a captain of a ship would take you through water, but he was all of those things. He was all of those things. And he really did bring us to this level that we are at, and then let us grow, bend, and flex our muscles, and let us, I think at some point he's been letting us like roam free and find our own way. And it's been a great relationship and a great learning experience for both Chris and I and Rich and everyone else. Without him getting excited and seeing it, I think I'd still be like having conversations with people that were like, this is awesome, but I'm afraid of it. And so it was it's a shout out to Dylan, and it's a bigger shout out to Benjamin seeing the potential in what we're doing. We just took what everybody saw in us and then ran with it. And so here we are.
Yeah. Hashtag Diggles the Sherpa. He's an incredible guy. And I think it, also speaks to their forward looking vision and their commitment to really bringing about a change with data in this world. So I'm not surprised to hear that you shared ideas back and forth and he was hot on it. So that to me is a no brainer.
Yeah. Well, he actually did say to us, because I think probably at that point we were beaten down because we told this to so many people, and it was like, he's like, I just want to know, are you guys excited? He goes, you look a little sleepy. And I was just like, and I was just like, not excited. It's just like, it's been a long 6 years.
It's been a long ride. Yeah.
I mean, try explaining this concept for 6 years. Like, nothing fundamentally has changed in any
right. Like,
the biggest change that we did was wrote the paper to really get the idea and make it defendable. But like, it is not, none of this is any different than it was 6 years ago. We have not really done anything different. So 6 years of like people being like, no way, this is crazy. Right. Nope. And then finally, like, so that's another lesson to you kids. A lot of people are going to say no. You got to find the Diggles to say, well, let's go.
That's going to be a new one. Find your Diggles.
Find your Diggles.
Find your Diggles, everyone. That's incredible. Love the story. It's always fascinating to me because, as you know, I love this ecosystem. It's always interesting to hear about how people, got involved here. And I think we really are a unique ecosystem. The fact that a lot of us work together, it's very collaborative, and love to see everyone supporting each other. So I love to always hear the story around how, we all ended up here. So it's sure. Cool to hear the background on that. So on the website, it says, well, with every interaction, fans are also rewarded for their loyalty. Can you kind of, I know we explained around some of the benefits, but how exactly does the fan token work inside of this system? Where are fans rewarded and for what? I know there's some component of like staking pools and things like that. Can you kind of describe the rewards aspect of this?
Yeah. So let's do a real basic one because we've built this in as well. So, you know, when it's like sign in with Google or sign in with Facebook to like, you know, do a quick login to whatever app you're in, right? Mm-hmm. The reason why you're doing that is because they're like, thank you very much. Take the data. We're going to take what you're doing and sell it. Right. And the way we look at that is like, cool. So let's take that perspective and flip it on its head and go like, everything that a user is going to be doing in the real world or in their searches or in experiences, why don't we take those things and then reward them for what they're bringing to the network and bringing to the data set? And this is kind of gets into the business end of it too. It's like you have your whole crypto office and then you have your technology software office, because the way we've broken the business up is, you know, it's not just like this one entity. We have different arms of Token Events that do different things and have different functions. And so our software development functionality and our function in our office is doing these things in service of the crypto part. And so they're like customers of each other. And right. And so we look at it like this. As you're doing these, as you're going in these stadiums, or as you're searching, or as you're using the single sign-on, or as you're buying things and or sharing with your friends, all of those things amount to you being loyal to not only the thing you love, but you're being loyal to the application. And so instead of taking data and being greedy and then like selling it off to like RGA and Wyden and Kennedy and all these people doing data research, right? Mm-hmm. If you show up in a query because your data is important, you right. should be rewarded for that, because like those people pay subscription fees. I mean,
right.
I work in the space. It's expensive. Data is expensive, right? And people get the data, then they sell the data, and the person's data that they're selling, they see nothing from that. So the idea with this is, not only are you going to be rewarded while you're doing what you were going to do anyway for nothing and got nothing out of it, now when you show up in queries and your data is being like queried, it's like you could be really truly not even doing anything and then wake up the next morning, and if somebody was looking in for data for you specifically and you showed up, you could wake up and earn, because you've added to the network and you've added to the application. Right. And then now you're a part of it. Like, you're a part of the success. So what that does is, if I'm a user that's like, I don't really feel like sharing data, but if you understand that like it's, you know, it's encrypted and you're not gonna be hurt by it, and actually you get just rewarded, you might then decide to flip that switch and add to the pile. Because the idea here is like, again, Web3, we come together and we share and we like become more decentralized, and then we become a part of the mechanic, we become part of the machine and part of the mechanics of this, and you should get the reward for the data that you're sharing, like full stop.
Right.
You should get rewarded for the engagements you're having with these different events. All of the things that you're like actively making the business part stronger, you should be in part of, because like,
yeah, you're part of that. Yeah.
Because like it's the old adage, right? If something's for free, chances are you're the product, right? And that's what we see. Everybody's like, oh, cool. I love to be able to share pictures and click the like button, and then I don't read any of the terms, and then magically like you've signed away all the rights to this data set, and then people are just printing money on you. How about I raise my hand and say, hey everybody, do you want to be rewarded for adding to this network and for participating in something that we're going to build around you? How does that sound? Cool. Come over here, engage here, and then you're going to see growth. Versus like, you know, I got to share a picture or click the like button, like, or argue with people. Like, I don't want to do that. Like, I just would rather, right. and I would rather build products for the future that are rooted in rewards and rooted in like real utility and making people actively participate in a way that's true. Because that's the other part to this too, that I feel you get skewed data when people know they're like
being exploited.
Yes. Yeah. So data gets skewed, or like, dude, I mean, like, let's look at ad blockers, right? Everybody puts an ad blocker on the minute they open a browser.
Yeah.
What if, because they're like, I don't want to be targeted, I get no benefit to this. Now look at what Brave did. They're like, cool. So basic utility, or the basic attention token, if you just let us serve up things that you might be interested in, we're going to give you some reward. And people are like, oh, okay, cool. That doesn't bother me, because it's a bi-directional conversation.
Right.
And, right. And like, dude, at this point, we need to stop like slamming users with things they don't need and reward them for participation and give them the things they want. Like, the old model's broken. Everyone knows it. Because if it wasn't broken, we wouldn't be on this meeting right now, right? If everything right. was fine.
Yeah, yeah, we wouldn't. Yeah.
And then, yeah, I mean, like, don't get me started with, like, all the regulation stuff. Like, it's scaring people, because it's like all of this old thinking is slowly going away because everybody's adopting the what's more practical and more pragmatic for the whole versus, like, a few. And so... That's why we've done things the way we've done them. And that's why all participation and all of everything that like is tied to your identity is a part of your reward system. And so it's not just like buy 5 cups of coffee, get the 6th one free. It's like, because like those things, it's like there's billions of dollars in loyalty, right? But people sign up for loyalty programs all the time and they do like one thing and then it dies off. The reason why it dies off is I spoke about engagement and receptors. You engaged me to do this thing, but there's no receptor to keep me going. And there was nothing to learn about me that would keep me in the mix. We're saying we want to learn about you, but we also want to reward you for learning. And we want to be explicitly clear. We want to be transparent. There's no like massive terms that you can't read that you need a lawyer to
right
answer. It's like right. No, like, get in the swimming pool, let's all share and figure this out, and then we'll build the mechanics around you and we're going to reward you for participating. How about that? It makes sense, right? You know,
sounds like a fair value exchange to me. And what I really love, and you mentioned it, is, you know, people are tired of, and people know now that they're being exploited for their information, and that it is not a fair value exchange. So it's almost like you have this thing where people are like timid, and it's like, well, we have this new thing now, and should you choose to, we will reward you.
Sure.
And by the way, you lose nothing. You lose nothing in the process.
Yeah. Cause I'm a user, right? Like, I am a user of things. And I looked at it from what would I want out of a product if I didn't want to share? I hate when it's like, oh, well, if you don't do this one thing, we're going to limit you to the point where you absolutely have to use it and then pay for it or whatever.
Right,
That's gross. I don't want to do that. Like, I don't. How about you lose nothing, you gain, you only gain, but like nobody loses in this scenario. Because again, if you're gonna build new economies and new thinking, it can't be rooted in old behavior where you take from people. I'm tired of the taking or the carrot dangling to get them to like do something.
Yeah.
It's
unethical.
And it doesn't feel right. And if you, at the end of the day, want to build a business, why don't you build it on your belief system? My belief system is when I engage with products, like I prefer the full suite and I prefer a fair shake. Like that's it. Like and whenever I use something and I feel that it's like, you know, gaming me, Like I drop off, and I'm not, and I'm not, I don't want to build products that I don't want to use, and I'm not going to do that to myself. Full stop. Why would you do it to other people?
Right. Exactly. So, I mean, like I said, it's truly incredible. And the way that you've put the user at the center of everything that you're doing, I think speaks volumes of who you guys are as a team as well. So I love to hear it. Now, what can you tell us about this marketplace that you're building in this app? So what types of activities will people be able to do and experience or engage with what you're building?
Yeah. So, you know, a lot of this is heavily up for debate internally, but you know, what we're trying to do is look at what is going on currently. So like you have these different, like there's different gaming aspects or these different NFT offerings or staking pools or all these other things. So we're looking at the market. Okay. Mm-hmm. We're looking at more of the crypto centric market and seeing what they're doing. Mm-hmm. Then we're taking that snapshot. And then we're looking at what do people do in normal marketplaces on like Facebook Moms, you know, like what does that exchange look like? Like, because that's a real marketplace, right?
Yeah, it is.
If you ever want to feel the weight of a community, go to any Facebook Moms group. Like that is you could do a master's thesis on just Facebook Moms. But and then let's look at e-com, like big juggernaut behavioral stuff that like Amazon does. And then let's break all of those things apart and then think about what are all the things that all these different marketplaces that people are doing, like how are they doing them? What are they doing well? What do people engage with? Then create our out of the gate marketplace where people can, like I said, they go to the grocery store, they choose their aisles. And then over time, like you don't have to see the things that you're not interested in or like,
right.
And then, so our marketplace is going to be built around the user and built around the user behavior and that thinking. And so we're partnering with different folks around what to come up with out of the gate for things for people to engage with. We don't want to have everybody show up to an empty disco. That's no fun. But we want to make sure that it's also rooted in what users are truly interested in. And so like, you know, like let's say you have like one team and one band or whatever, like let's do something unique that they can't get on Amazon. Let's do like, you know, like if there is like this awesome artist, like, you know, I'm very local right now, like Joe Fresh Goods in Chicago does all this cool collab work with like different teams and different like shoes and all this stuff. Like imagine doing a collaboration with like him and like the Cubs or like an artist, right? And then now you've created a marketplace that is curated into the thing that you love along with other things that you can engage with. Maybe you never heard of Joe Fresh Goods. Maybe I've said it, maybe you've never heard of this guy, but if you look him up, he does some cool stuff. But there's all kinds of ways for us to create that. But what do we, how do we create it? We create it on the data that we know today, the behaviors we know today. And we don't set it in stone. We test it. We see what the user says and does and what they participate in. Mm-hmm. And then we adjust. So the idea is our marketplace isn't rooted in, you know, like Amazon's marketplace. They were like, oh, it's always like, we are going to do everything we can, you know, air quotes, to like make the customer happy. But at the end of the day, the flip to that was we're going to find out everything we possibly can about that customer. We're going to copy what they like and then make it cheaper and then just drive price down. And then
Amazon basics.
Yes. Right.
Yeah.
And so our point is, let's not do that. Why don't we just like curate killer marketplaces where people come to us and they're like, I can't get this anywhere else. I don't want to sound like boutique. I don't want to like go to this is like a $9,000 like shoestring. Like, that's crazy. It would be a place where it's affordable, makes sense, and it interacts with the fan coin,
right.
Along with or fiat. It doesn't matter to me. Like, what I want to do is I want to create these marketplaces where it's like, you know, let's have a unique thing that you can only get here. Or maybe you could get it at Amazon, but here you can do it in exchange for your fan or whatever.
Right.
That's our idea in the marketplace. The idea isn't to like rinse and repeat normal e-com, or let's rinse and repeat like what people are already doing. Let's take what the users are telling us and let's build like, and that's the other thing too. We could say like, hey artists or hey band or hey team, like we see like tons of people really liking like this type of hat. And you know what? There's a lot of data to support. If you built this new version of your logo or this new version or these alternate colors, you're going to get engagement. And you know what? What if you bring this hat? We have some crazy ideas around like, imagine if you purchase something, right? And then you stitch in like into the fabric, the NFE or the NFT, where like that then could be like a giveaway tickets or a giveaway, experience. Like there's ways to like really like blend these things together, or like you could make like really curated like hats where like there could be like a little thing like this on the side. And it's in when you scanned it, it was like the number, like maybe only 10 were made. And this is now your real world artifact.
Right.
So like, I see that. But again, we're focusing in on what the user is going to tell us through their engagement. And then what we're going to, because again, we have to come out with things that we know people are going to like try out. And then we'll use that testing ground to then really build a marketplace that's centered around what they want to engage in. And I know people are going to be like, well, if you do that, it's going to just get kind of generic or whatever. But that's not true. If you think about people being the most non-fungible things, your marketplace may look diametrically different than mine. And I might look over at yours and say like, ooh, I kind of like that. And then, or I can search things. And then that then changes, then that just shifts about like what the marketplace is doing for you. And it's going to be like a,
another living experience for the user based on what they're looking for.
Yeah, it's the lava lamp, as it were, of experiences. It's going to kind of traverse through the liquid, and we'll land on different. It could change day to day, right? And the idea here is, don't give the monolithic e-com experience. Let's do data driven experiences, and you know, kind of let it flow, let it be liquid, right? Adding liquidity to your life, right?
Ooh, I like that one right there. Sure. Speaking of lava lamps, I almost bought one, and I was like, you know what? Because I was gonna put it on my desk, and I was like, you know what? I can't be doing that right now. Too far gone. But I love that, and I love again the user centric thought process around literally how you guys approach everything and your product. So I think that's incredible. So for you, what has been the best part about building Fan thus far?
The best part is letting go of things that I don't have control over and watching other people add and make this better than what I had in my head. It's interesting when you kind of take your ego away from things or what you believe to be true and sit back and listen to like what other people might interpret. I've heard different interpretations of the product spoken back to me. I'm like, yeah, I like that. And yeah, that's pretty much what I was thinking. But you just unlocked a different like angle at this that I didn't see, because like I've got my own like human problems in my brain around like what I think is right. And so the thing that I've enjoyed in all of this is like sitting back and hearing it brought back to me, and like hearing different like ideas around my original thought, and then running with it, or like, you know, having conversations that then turn into some of this identity stuff. Like, you know, you're kind of joking one minute, and the next thing you know, you're like building a different aspect to a product the next because of like a inspiration around how we use identity across all these digital channels and how you amalgamate all this data. And yeah, it's, for me, it's been that. It's been sitting back and hearing it from other people and then just doing my own adjustments and my own thinking and listening and then seeing like, this is a cooler path to go down. These are different things that we can try out as an organization. So that's been the biggest thing for me. And the other thing too is like, imagine sitting on something for this amount of time and then now you see people, you know, like there was just like, was it Coinnicer? Like that was the
Tokenizer. There
you go. Tokenizer.
Yeah.
So I watched that video and I was like, I didn't tell this guy anything. Yeah. And then I was like, I go, nailed it. I like that. And I was like, but that to me was bigger than anything. It was like the fact that like people are like, it's clicking, they understand it and they're engaging. And that to me has been the biggest, that's been the biggest, I guess, reward in the whole process, because it's making sense and, you know, people are engaging. Again, are we at mass adoption where everybody knows? No. But do the right people understand it? Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've gone 6 years back to where we are today.
Sure.
Here we are. 5-6 years in the future. If everything works out, if everything goes as planned, where would you like to see token events? What's the grand vision?
The grand vision for me is I would love to see a software development company in service of a larger DAO that is doing work based on what the community or what the general public wants. I want to see a world where there are services being provided to a fan base or to a user base or a DAO that are, that it's an actual engagement in actively doing things or building products that people want. And I don't have to like be the voice piece of it, because the greater good of everybody is the voice piece of it. Mm-hmm. And that they like build those things. And then as a software guy, we will just in the service of the group or in service of the greater good, do that work. And the other thing that I would like to see as well is, integrations with our product across other things and like open sourcing and open API. Like, let's build, like, let's not like create siloed businesses. Let's build like massive societal change. Like, let's connect the pieces. Let's think bigger than just like these small fiefdoms. Let's build out larger communities. Let's build, like, let's let that like live and breathe. And, you know, like, that is my vision. My vision is, I don't want to like make a decision that affects you. I want you to make a decision that affects you. And I want like the DAO or the foundation or the larger governing body to like be the voice piece for that. And I want then all of the, I want the open API, I want the openness to connect to us to also be like, hey, look at what so-and-so is doing over here. They've taken a different look at this. Their lens on this is different. How do we accommodate this? And like, then that, what that does is it's bi-directional. They're doing something cool over here. Then we make changes upstream that are actually going to benefit everybody. And then it becomes this ecosystem that works. I mean, at the end of the day, do you know what Salesforce does? I mean, really, truly, does the general public know? But
right,
they're in it and they have a lot going on and they're a big part of a lot of things that people don't even realize. Mm-hmm. I would like to be like a Salesforce, but people know what's going on. Where it's like, they're like, ah, I know that company. I know what they do. I know that it connects to this. And I know that these are the outcomes from that. Like, and that's no diss on Salesforce. That's just the way that we're currently set up. Like, if you don't know, you don't know, because But chances are, like, you've interacted with Salesforce more times than you know, right? And so the idea is think about what they do, but unpack that and make that very, like, transparent so people understand who we are and, like, understand how we power things. And that's really what I want. Like, I just want people to know that we exist and that we're here to, like, serve them versus the other way around.
Love it. Absolutely. So, you know, super excited. Love everything that you guys are doing. I truly believe in the project. I believe in you guys as a team. I'm super excited to watch this unfold over the next 5-10 years so that we can get that more transparent DAO, software as a service based company, building what the people want. I think that's the true, like I said, epitome of what we're all trying to do here in Web3. So love that. How can we get involved? Where can we find more about the project? Is there a pre-sale going on? What do you guys have going on right now? What can we get involved in?
So yeah, you can get involved. You can go to tknevents.com. Our white paper is there. Our all of our social channels are there. All the pretty graphics around. You could, like, if you listen to this speech and listen to this conversation and then scroll to the bottom and take a look at the economy layout of, like, how all the tokenomics work. And then you could take a look into, like, where our goals are, or where we're connecting the dots. All of our socials are there. This is one for the community. Discord is going to pick up. I know everybody's been like, excuse me, what's up with Discord? I'm just like, we got a lot going on, but Discord is going to start picking up. We're going to start really digging in harder with everybody. But like I said, the white paper is out there. We're in our pre-sale now. Seed and round one have closed out. Depending on the market, we may open up some parts of round one because I don't know if everybody wants to participate, depending. I mean, like, I'm kind of waiting on a couple of people to get back to me. There might be small spots open, but don't hold me to that. I'm still waiting. But round two is still going on. We're just a shade under 2 million raised in this bear market currently. So that doesn't feel too bad. That's all right. We'll be hitting
that bull market.
Yes. So we're going to hit Lattice Exchange soon. We're kind of waiting on the marching orders there. And then we have a lot of conversations going on with different VCs and different people coming on board. We haven't done any big marketing pushes or any influencer stuff because our goal at this point has been, we want everybody that's paying attention to it to get in now before we really start, like, spreading the net, as it were. So this is probably our last, like, community, like, one-on-one with you, and you have a larger voice than just Constellation, so it's going to kind of go a little further. Then after this, we're going to really, like, go to town on picking up the pace and bringing more people on. So you can go to our website, and then all the private sale stuff is there. And then if you go to Telegram, there's information on what you need to do as far as signups and things like that. And then we'll take it from there. And we're currently building everything. I actually just dropped from a dev call to get on this call. So we're in the thick of it, as they say, in the meme world of children's songs.
Into the thick. I was just playing it in my head, and there was a part of me that was like, don't say it out loud, Eric.
Well, I said it for you.
Yeah. So, Adam, really appreciate you coming on the call, joining us here in the Digital Dive, and telling everyone about the project. I'm super excited for it. I look forward to tracking your guys' journey and myself being part of the experience when I can get involved in a token event myself. So I'm really excited for everything that you guys are doing, and I look forward to more conversations.
Thank you. There's a lot coming.
I know. Super excited. All right, everyone. Thanks for joining us here in this call. I will put all the information in regards to what Adam shared about their website, where you can find them, everything in the description below. And we will sign off. I hope everyone has a great rest of their day.